Accession number 12711, Mr. T. Thompson, reel 3.
Mr. T. Thompson, reel 3. You're in Aleppo, you say, doing a great deal of training and manoeuvres.
Yes,
what happened next, Mr. Thompson?
Well, we're called back to Tobruk. We went in, went down to Alexander by train. We got on the destroyer, boats, and it took us in night time, in the night.
Do you recall what date this would be?
Oh, sometime I couldn't tell you. September, I think, about September, around about that. End of September, I think. Then we went to different positions, you know.
Now, you sailed out at night to Tobruk.
Mm-hmm.
What did you travel on? What did you sail on?
Destroyer. Australian, it was an Australian destroyer. I was on it.
And as you approached Tobruk,
it was all,
what was it like?
During the day, you couldn't land during the day. You had to land at night time. And it was, you had to be very careful because you used to bomb a lot. Shells and aircraft used to come over. And there was a kind of few boats sunk in the harbour, you know, at that time. And we went up.
Had you heard of Tobruk and what was going on there before you went there?
Oh, yes. I knew the siege.
So how did you...
Oh, I knew all about the siege. The Australians, they held it. And they're Northumberland Fusiliers. They were in a long time. When they got kicked back, you know, and that's why they stopped.
How did you feel knowing you were going into it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I couldn't say it. Didn't bother me, really. Oh, no. Didn't bother me at all.
The landing, what happened on the landing?
You had to get off as quick as possible, because you had to get out before daylight. You had to destroy your head, get away. You'd be darkness, you know. You had to not speak, you know, you had to be very careful of you. Get away as far as possible, off the harbour. You know.
Where did they take you?
We went up to our positions. And, I can't recall the name of the place, but we were opposite a place called Plonk. That was the nickname of the German strong point. And we were over there all the time with Louis. Oh, I love it. Can't beat.
What were the defensive positions like in Tobruk
were
in?
We were dug in. There were the positions that we were in had been built by the Italians. The Italians had built them, cement, concrete, all concrete. They were good. They were well down and had bunks, you know. They were good, them places. And,
again, were you wired in?
Oh, yes. We weren't very far from the Germans, you know. Germans, you could find here, you could see them. You know, the Germans, they weren't a great long distance away.
What was the terrain like between you and the Germans? Was it flat or
What do you call it? Oh, it was flat. By some, like gorse, you know. It is what you call no man's land. But we used to have a listening post. We used to take turns in going out on a night time, you know. You used to take your turn going out and listen. And then there was the fighting patrols. We lost one or two men on that job, the fighting patrols.
Can we just get the positions clear before we start talking about that? You're in concrete dugouts.
Oh, yes.
And wired in. Mm-hmm. And then with the minefields.
Oh, aye. There's minefields further and further. Oh, aye. But we knew where they were. I mean, we knew where to go. Right?
Behind you, what was the behind you, do you recall?
Well, there was other supports. Other regiments, you know. And the artillery that was behind us. All right. And the headquarters, like, you know.
So did you go out on patrol?
Oh, yes. All right.
What kind of patrol did you go
out on? Patrol and listen patrols. All right.
Can we take listening patrols first?
Uh-huh.
How many?
Three officers going.
What did you take with you?
Georgia Steer, rifle, water bottle, you know. All right, and you just sit and listen.
That was just with your ears?
All right.
You didn't have any instruments or equipment?
No. Binoculars. I had a bit of binoculars. Night ones.
Oh, you were there at night?
All right, all the night time. All right, night time.
How far would the Germans be from you when you were in that position?
I couldn't say to see them.
We're very close, though.
No, I'm not that too close. No. When you're on the listening post, all right. Oh, yes, they weren't a great long way off. When we were on the... well up.
What were you particularly listening for?
Information, really, and what they were doing, and how many there was, you know. How many troops was there? But we never had much, you know. Never had any trouble there.
Did you black up
when
you went out?
No. No, we never did that. That came later, them things. No, we never blacked up. Blacked up, no.
Was it a very tense situation going out like this alone?
You had a bit nervous then when you went on them. They weren't very good, especially a listening post, because on a fighting patrol, where you knew what you had to do, and you got on with it. If you had two good leaders, because I was just a private then, in the early on, and there was an officer and a sergeant and a corporal, maybe about 10 to 15 men used to go on these fighting patrols.
Was there any danger on a listening patrol that you fell asleep? I mean, through the night.
Oh, no, never said I fell asleep. You couldn't fall asleep. You're all fixed up, you know. You didn't fall asleep.
Fighting patrol, you said, was much larger. How many men would be in a fighting patrol?
15.
And that would be...
including the NCOs,
And did you have an officer or just NCOs leading you?
No, sometimes officer. Sometimes a platoon officer would go in there, or a sergeant.
Were you told what you were going to do?
You're briefed. What your job was, what you had to do, what you were going to attack.
And were they all riflemen in the patrol?
Oh, yes.
You didn't take anyone else like stretcher bearers or anyone like that with you?
No.
Do you recall any particular fighting patrol that you were on?
There was one button we had. We went to try to see how strong he was at plonk, this strong position. And we got fired upon. We attacked this place and we got mauled about a bit. You know, I think we lost one bloke. We got took prisoner, I believe, this time. And we got back, we got to get back, because it was a bit rough, you know.
What had happened? Had you been spotted?
We had to attack them, you know, this certain position. We had to knock as many out as we could, you know. And we got tangled up, and we were going to...
You say you got tangled up in wire?
With the Germans, you know. They're all Germans, is this certain spot where we went. He had a lot of Italians behind in front. I'll come to that. After these patrols, it was two or three times we were going to attack Plonk, but around the flank, you know, not where we were. We were facing them. We were going to attack them around the side, one of the flanks. And it was, it went on 2 or 3 days. It was cancelled. They kept cancelling it for some unreason. And we had, I'll tell you an instance. You can put it right, because it was true. This happened. We had a rum ration every night, you know. And this Irishman, I forget his name now, he was a real Irish, real character he was. And he was, he got drunk, terribly drunk. And he went to the platoon commander, he says, give me two men. And he says, I'll take plunk myself. That was a rum term, like, you know. 10 minutes after that, he dropped down. Alcoholic poison. Mm. We fell down, and we picked him up, and we put him on a bench, you know, like a book, and they just laid him down. Well, he was sick, and he choked. Right? And they sent for the CO. He said, the CO said, the MO, the doctor. And he called me, he says, you didn't want me. He said, you want the padre. He was dead. That was true. Mm. Well, he's a great lad.
He must have got hold of more than his ration of the room.
Why, I had a mistin full. Why, he got getting of different people, you know. With it, like them jars, you know, them little jars? You have to get a issued with them, you know.
Well, these
not one, like, you just get a mistin. You're dropping a mistin.
Was this given to you every night or just before you were going out?
No, every night you used to get it. Why? In Tobruk. Why? Oh, I used to get plenty of that. It was horrible stuff. I never drank very much of it, very little.
I would
keep me senses.
In this attack that you made at Plonk on the Germans, did you get up close to the Germans?
Oh, I was. I used to, by the way. Italians, sorry. Italians. That's what I was telling you about. We made the, after this, we did, it did come off, and I was with the company commander. I was with him in his truck. And we all lined up, all the battalion, different companies, of course. And we're all dark, with night time, about 12 o'clock at night. And we all went in the line, and we got so far, we all lined up. Everyone lined up, and then we heard this Italian shout, somewhere right in there, like, who goes there? And there was a shot fired, and then we ordered to pick Bennett and charge. That was when we charged, and I wasn't very far behind the company commander, Captain Keith, when he got killed. He was hit with a Molotov cocktail, I think. He was in a bad way. There's two scouts out. We had one on the right, one on the left. They were well in front, the two scouts. And the who they missed them to, I don't know. But, they must have seen them first. And they must have fired, the lads. But we ordered a charge, and in the charge he got hit. Oh, I lost. But we caught them unawares. Caught them exactly. They were still in the trenches. Yeah. There's one instance where, when they were all Italians, these, on this part, where we attacked. And we, I don't know what I should tell you this, but they were in the trench, these Italians, half a dozen. We could hear them shouting, "Mercy, comrade, mercy, comrade." And they wouldn't come out. We told them, asked them to come out, you know, but in their language, they wouldn't. So we just tossed a half a dozen hand grenades in. That was it. So I didn't know whether that was there. That's what happened there in Tobruk. Yeah. And I remember that a little bit. Couldn't get them out at all. No.
When you're making a bayonet charge, it must. Do you lose sense of?
Oh, you're mad! Shouting and why? Man, there's a lot on that night. They were tight. They were drunk with the rum. You did get a big issue that night, and there was a kind of few of them. As a matter of fact, there was a warden shouting and screaming when we were going in. I remember behind me, and I think there was the rumour was that the colonel was behind and he caught up with him and he must have knocked him out, you know.
That was
silenced him, because it all of a sudden it stopped. The screaming, he would get the best of him, you know, getting frightened. And he was, I don't know who he was, mate, I haven't got a clue, because he was behind us, but we heard him. As I say, we all lined up and we're given the order to charge.
When you're given an order like that, obviously some men, as you say, go forward quickly.
Why, aye.
And others go, but do any men hang back who are nervous or frightened?
Oh, I think so. I didn't say. I was looking ahead. I didn't look behind at all. And we got to this strong point and we sorted them out, because they were not running away and going away. It was that's why I got wounded. I got wounded there. I didn't know where the bullet come from, just come in here.
In your arm?
Aye, and then came out here. I'd be much better be rifle up like that, you know. With an Italian machine gun, like a sting gun, you know. One of their sting guns.
Mm-hmm. Does it affect you when you get hit like that? You're okay 1 second, then you hit the next.
You just went home. I didn't feel anything really until later, you know. God, I knew I'd been hit, you know, but I still carried on. I carried on a cannon bit after that, before we could get to go off the battlefield. Oh, I was a lot wounded, a terrible lot wounded that day. But I still carried on with helped the brain gunner, you know, one thing, and I stuck with him. We stopped in that place for the cannon bit, and got them on the move, you know. And then the RSM was going around picking the wounded up. Anybody would walk and wounded, and I was walking all right. And I went back to the plane station, you know. And from there I went to the hospital in Tobruk. And then did a...
At the clearing station, what did they do at the clearing station?
Had an operation. You know.
Yes, but at the clearing station, when you went to your first...
They just bandaged it up. Just put a rub bandage on. Right.
And sent you
then
back.
Then they sent it back to this bigger one, the hospital.
When your attack is over and everything's quiet and finished, what's the immediate reaction? Is there a reaction after all the excitement and the fear and the tension?
No, didn't affect me at all. No. I was pleased it was... just a wound, you know.
Did you lose any of your close friends in this action?
No, not this one. No. No one of them. No, I believe it. There's one lad. One lad got. He didn't. He got took prisoner.
When you went back to the hospital, that was the hospital in Tobruk.
Aye.
Where was it? Where was the hospital in Tobruk?
Oh, I couldn't tell you exactly.
Was it into a hillside? And obviously it must have been protected.
It was close to the docks, because we went, after the operation, got to clean it up. And I went, got on the boat to...
Were they all...
Wounded.
Were the doctors in the hospital, were they all men? There were no women?
No women. No women there.
You can't recall whether it was buildings or in a cave.
Well, yeah, the building, because half the top was off. As a matter of fact, when we're in there waiting for the boat to go to Alexandra, the jetty came over and strapped it. And there was a dogfight. We could say through the roof. Half the roof had been blown away, you know, and we could see through it and see the dogfights. Yeah, that was a couple of days before we could get it on the boat, because there were a lot of wounded, before it loaded.
What did Tobruk look like in the daytime when you could see it?
We didn't see very much of it, because we were in a small place, and you couldn't see very much. No, you were in one little area then, that's why you stuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the darkness, where you're on different patrols and stand twos and one thing and another. You had to start it either. There was a fighting step there, man, with big bottles and plunks laid over, and you used to stand two every morning. Before dawn, every morning there. And you can gamble all the money in the world. About 12 o'clock, the Italians used to come over. So there's always at tipping time. With planes, aeroplanes, in Tobruk, used to bomb the area, strafe the area. But he was never keen. Like, he didn't come very far down. It was Jerry used to come down and strafe us, but not the Italians. We don't want to hide. We used to fire at them, They used to get, I think with B Company, we're supposed to bring the most blood planes down. That was the tail leg. But I don't think we brought any down. But everybody had to fire the plane, as they come down, as they come over.
What was the food like that you got into?
Oh, it was very good in there. It all had to be brought even at night time. Well, you had to be very careful. I plunk.
Did you lose weight through poor food?
I didn't. I never took much notice, really. But I put on weight when I got into hospital. It was all right. Then an instance, when we were on the boat, good Alex, came over the news that Pearl Harbor, that was the 10th of...
December.
December, right. That was when, that's how I'll remember the date. We were on the boat then. And we went from that, Alex, and then we went to the hospital in 63rd General Hospital, Cairo. I was there quite a while.
What was it like there?
Oh, it was good. Very good. Good food. The nurses there, mine's sisters, armies.
How did they treat you?
Very good. All right.
Was it strongly disciplined place?
Oh, aye, very disciplined. Aye, there was a good captain there, doctor. The captain, he's a good and nice chap.
You remember his name?
He was a great guy. I used to visit the. So there's a lot of old lads who was wounded, and a friend of mine. He was in the other ward, opposite me, and I used to go and see him. He was badly wounded. He was a corporal. He had a nickname, Doc Cowell. Doc Cowell, he's a great guy. But he was badly wounded. He was a regular soldier. And he used to go and keep him company. But he got sent home. He was wounded that bad. And I was there, when I was in hospital, I was beside a Scotchman of the Black Watch. He was a corporal. He got wounded in Tobruk. They were there. The Black Watch was in Tobruk and all. I was there quite a while.
Were you getting mail from England?
Oh, yes, aye.
Did you get much mail in Tobruk, coming into Tobruk from home?
No, not very much, no. Didn't get a great lot there, because, as I say, we were different places in a short time. They were in the desert, and we were out the desert, and we're in Syria, and come through Palestine way, and we're different places. Yeah, that's how the mail was, took a lot to. When he did get it, he got a book,
What operation had they done on your arm?
They just cleaned it. But once I got into hospital, I'm forgetting his doctor's name, he's a great guy. Jack. Captain Jack. That was his name. I'm sure that was his name, Captain Jack. Aye. He did the operation, but cleaned it again. Operation, like, and put a plaster on. It was a compound fracture. The split, you know.
When you came out of hospital, the battalion will have moved.
Oh, it's gone. Oh, I know.
What happened to you?
I never saw it again. Oh. I went down to the depot, Geneva. And from there, they sent me to Port Said, Port Fjord, across the ferry, you know. I don't know if you know it or not. From Port Said, you get a ferry across to into Port Fjord, where there was a 156 transit camp. I was there for a while, convalescent. Because I was graded on the B1.
What were transit camps like?
They were good. We were employed there, for a little while. And then, before El Alamein, after El Alamein, we had to get graded again, and I got back to A1, and I joined the, went back to depot, to Geneva, and I volunteered again to come back, to go back with the, to go up the desert with the 9th battalion, with one of the battalions up there.
So you'd come out of hospital
and went to transit
camp. You were there quite a while.
Quite a while,
and you joined when did you join the 9th battalion?
Maybe not, yeah.
Was it before Alamein?
No, it was after Alamein. No, I wasn't in Alamein. We joined. It would be April, March. It was March when I joined the 9th Battalion.
This would be 1943.
All right, 43.
Where did you join them? Where were they?
Up before Marafline. We joined them there. Mm-hmm. And then we got wrong there.
Which company did you go to there?
D Company.
Mm-hmm. Who was your officer?
Captain Hudson. Captain Hudson, he was a company commander.
Were you still a private soldier?
Oh, aye. That's when I got made NCO there, around about that time. When we went right up to in Peterville. You heard of that one? Right up.
Can you describe Marath?
That was a bit rough. That.
What happened to you at Marath?
Well, I was all right there. I didn't get to go to that or nothing. I was just a private then.
But can you remember the attack and what you were doing?
I was in Day Company, in one of the sections, you know, and we would just go forward, and we had to scale these ladders to get jerrys on top, you know.
This is a ditch.
Strong point, you know, right. And we had to get up a height, and we were brought back. Half of us didn't get up. We got wrong. As I say, and we got thumped, and we lost a lot of men there.
Do you recall what the German positions were like?
Powerful. Powerful, oh aye. Very strong. We were pulled out. We didn't take it. The watch took like it. They did get him out, and then he fled.
Do you recall getting through the ditch? How did you get through and over the ditch?
In the initial stages. Aye. Oh, that was a bit rough,
Did you use ladders or?
Some got up the ladders, but I didn't get up the ladder. We got way back, as I say, you know. Opposition was too great. We had to come back. And I'm nearly sure it was the New Zealanders which took over from us. I'm not quite sure.
You lost, again, a great number of men.
We had to get reinforcements again. We had to get a lot of reinforcements.
So you'd been in several really hot places. Was this having any effect upon you personally?
No, it didn't seem to affect me at all. It didn't seem to. Well, as a matter of fact, I was glad to get back with the battalion, one of the battalions.